I'd like to first take the opportunity, even before roll call, to thank Commissioner Walter and South Seas for their ongoing generosity in letting us use this facility and providing for us. So thank you, Bob and gang.
Thank you, Bob.
And now, roll call, Commissioner Jensen.
Dave Johnson.
Harry Kaiser.
Mike Mullins.
Bob Walter.
And Commissioner Lanigan has texted. It sounds like he's stuck at the post office. I assume he's coming, but he'll be late. So. Now, we need approvals, et cetera, of the minutes. Before we do, I just wanted to say that there was some issues that I raised with some of the information and the procedure, and so I'm reading the SOP. I guess, according to Mr. Wilson, we've been sending out draft versions of the minutes to the press in the past. I don't see that in the SOP, that we have to send this to the press. I know if they request it, anybody can request public information. There is a policy for how we handle that. My main issue is distributing information that has not yet been approved by the board. So draft minutes are not approved by the board. Among other things, I suggested putting a watermark on the page. I think you've done that since. I think that works out fine. So it's very clear if anybody gets a hold of it. But just the public should know and the press should know that until after the board meeting following, the month following the original board meetings, the board has to approve the minutes, and so they don't become official until afterwards. So careful that you're reporting information that's been approved. So, and I had shared some changes. You can make those changes later or go over them if you want. I know they're not very organized in terms of how I shared them, but I would appreciate in the future if I can find an ability to change a Word document or something that doesn't corrupt your version, just so it's easier for me to edit. Cutting and pasting and then transferring it to an email and so on is not an efficient process for me. So do I hear a for the March 11th regular meeting minutes?
I'll make a motion to dispense with the reading of the minutes from the March 11th regular meeting. And at the same time, you want me to make a motion to suspend the reading for the briefing meetings?
Yeah, and subject to the amendments that you suggested.
I have a question. I mean, yeah. I think we should publicly, do you have a list of those amendments? I mean, at least get it on record.
That's fine. Yeah. That's fine.
Email. I thought I brought them, but I don't see them here. And no, but we can hold off on approving them until the following meeting.
Well, we did get them in the email.
Yeah, they were distributed.
Well, we can communicate the gist of them, right?
Well, if I let me find the minutes, and this is why I asked. Usually, I used to get written copies. We're going through, you know, some adjustments with change in staff, and I recognize that that means that, you know, some things will change. We need to get up to speed on that, and we will. And I've already discussed that with both Carolyn and Joe. There was something, Carol Wetzel, public comments. This would be March 11th. 2019, the 1 p.m. meeting, page 7 of 67 of your book. The last sentence, oh, sorry, the penultimate sentence in that first paragraph said, he would also like to ask proportionally who should pay for the future in regards to just value versus perspective value. I really didn't understand the sentence, but I think what he was asking is, and I don't understand the proportional word, but I think what he was asking was whether just value as provided by the property appraiser, in fact, includes the future benefit of beach nourishment. But I'm not certain. I think you need to go back to the recording and capture the correct sense of what Mr. Wetzel was saying.
And I have a...
Go ahead.
Or need an explanation or correction. The following page, old business... D under line 6, sand projected at 900,000 cubic yards. I didn't know what the parentheses minus 24.
That's an approximate. I don't know what the 2400.
I'm sorry, minus the 24 is the odd year time, so I can keep track of it. I'm sorry, I left it again.
No problem. And I think maybe it should be a little clear about these quotes for cubic yards. When is that for? Was it a certain project, or there's no reference as to what that's about.
We can certainly add that. It was talking about the audit and what it says in the audit, and the audit has the dates in it. But we can add that.
Well, or it should be, does it say it about the audit in there?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it does. Yeah, thank you. Okay, thank you. I think that's clear.
As a general rule, what I wanted to address regarding that, and more particularly Dr. Strong's presentation later, is that, again, as staff come up to speed, and I guess, Joe, you might have been doing these and listening to the tape or trying, what we're after is the essence of what was discussed. And some of it is very detailed, so I could see where it would be somewhat confusing to go through it all and get it right. So what I wanted to say is I think in something like this, it might be sufficient to say the question was raised as to the accuracy of the quote regarding cubic yards. We will clarify that with Aptum and report back to the board on that, and that might be sufficient without getting into the detail. Anybody have a different opinion on that?
No, I agree with you.
Yeah. And the next, similarly with the Dr. Strong stuff, you'll see it's very detailed. I was taking forever just reviewing it to try and get it, and I didn't have the recording handy, but I'm glad I didn't. So, under federal funding issues, which is old business 6E, the idea was to find out what, you know, why did the Army Corps pull out? Can anything be done about that? We've had several people in the community raising this issue with us. I had somebody who wants to remain anonymous spend an hour on the phone with me last week going over conversations he's had with representatives and going over the fact that he feels that we should be qualifying. We have some numbers I'll be reaching out to, and others may also, but Congressman Rooney and some of the representatives at the Senate level and the governor's office, just to see what they know about the issue and whether they could help facilitate the Army Corps of Engineers. It seems like we've had some difficulty getting them to talk with us and come in. And
well, I've got a report on that later.
Okay, then we'll get to that later. That's good. But under the second paragraph in that same section, it was discussed that the cost-to-benefit ratio of having ACOE run the project was high. So Aptum ran the project and came in much lower to everyone's agreement. My comment was, I don't think it was to everyone's agreement. And secondly, I don't exactly know what that means. It was certainly suggested that it might be, or probably on a cost-benefit analysis, would prove to be more costly to go with the Army Corps of Engineers, even if they gave us a grant. But we needed an analysis on that to be clear. And I know that it was suggested by some, and particularly Aptum, that the project cost more when the Army Corps ran it, mm-hmm. back in the 2004-05 timeframe. I would like to point out that we were shortchanged on sand, which was discovered by, I guess, the Aptum studies afterwards and so on. The Army Corps came back. Not right away, but they came back. All the cost of mobilization and everything associated, which was very expensive, was covered by them because it had been their failure that there was a shortfall in the amount of sand that was placed on the beach. I don't know if we did that with Aptum or somebody else. I guess it would be their job to go after the dredging company and so on and so forth to get the sand, but I think there's other factors that need to be considered. I just want to make sure we're considering them all in the event there is any problem with shortfall or whatever. But we've never really done the cost-benefit analysis, and until we know what the projected benefits are, whether we can even get any benefits from the Army Corps of Engineer, I think that decision has never been finalized. Commissioner Lanigan, you've been bringing it up since you came to this board, and so we're moving towards, and we'll address that later. But in this particular thing on the minutes...
Well, it's not only a cost-benefit, right? There's a risk-reward factor involved, too, because if we accept the money, then we're at their mercy. For everything.
Yeah, whatever the factors are. I just didn't feel the way it was presented here, it was clear what it meant, that everybody, it says to everyone's agreement. I don't know what that meant exactly, because there was an agreement on whether or not it was better, more beneficial to go with Aptum or the Army Corps of Engineer. But you're right, an analysis needs to be done, risk-benefit analysis.
So how do you want to handle the minutes then?
I think I would certainly take, I guess you have to go back and listen to the tape and fix that paragraph, or just simply say that, go with the first paragraph and maybe the last paragraph. I would leave out the middle paragraph.
Then we cannot approve them until next time.
Well, I agree. That's being suggested. So
that's no problem.
But Bob asked us to go over it, so we're going over what some of the issues were. Now, under B, This is six, old business, item B. There's, you know, like 15 paragraphs, whatever. There's a lot of information there. I appreciate the effort to capture and synopsize most of what was being said by Dr. Strong. It got very involved. And here's where what I would say is there was a presentation on the revised proposed tentative apportionment. It was explained by Dr. Strong and referenced the document that he gave out, and that's on our website, so that people can go and look at it themselves to understand. But to try to encapsulate that is challenging and may create miscommunication, and I would prefer just to point to the source document there. And this is a learning process relative to doing the minutes, that we don't want every last detail, and we don't expect you to encapsulate everything that's being said by some of the people.
Well, it makes his job easier, too.
Yeah, and it increases the accuracy. And now, when you say in the bottom of page 4, that last paragraph, Chairman Mullins asked for a motion to accept the tentative apportionment, that paragraph is fine, because that's the essence of what was communicated in that particular point regarding motions and so on. I'm trying to think what other, in my emails, what other things there were. Oh, there were a couple of areas in here where we mentioned bringing them up in April. Are they all on the agenda? One of them is clearly this presentation regarding Sanibel.
Right. The Redfish Pass is not. We're going to move that to May.
Okay. That's fine. No, that's fine. And then just a minute point was under Commissioner's comments. I'm sure I made, in addition to commenting on Commissioner Lanigan's comment, I made a separate just no comment. So just for the record, wanted to put that in there. Now, I didn't really get through all these briefing meetings. I think we should take the time to go over them all and then give you feedback and look to approve them in the following month's meeting.
Okay.
And I would ask anybody that has opinions on it to please communicate to the staff between now and then. That gives us almost an entire month to review the material.
Do we have to approve the briefing meetings minutes, though?
All minutes, if they're going to become our record.
They got to be.
Yeah, they need to be approved. And that's only if the briefing meeting has, you know, at least
three.
Well, I would say at least two commissioners present. So. Okay, public comments. Welcome, public. See some new faces here. Anybody want to make a comment about anything?
Are we going to?
Sorry. Yeah, go ahead. You can go first.
Are we going to have time to discuss the formula? How they arrived at the new beach renourishment fees, Mike.
I'm sorry.
Is this the time
for
your,
his name for the record?
Oh, Tom.
Mark.
Mark. M-A-R-K-E-L.
What's that?
K-L-E-L.
I'm not going to go.
Yes. Is this the right time?
This is not. And actually, for anybody who's coming for that purpose, there may be some questions raised on it. But I'm going to make a proposal. I don't know how the board will feel about this, but I'm going to make a proposal that we put off accepting the tentative apportionment until the fall when we have more attendance here, and that we're going to do a public hearing after we actually accept it. And we're still working it through, both with the economist and reviewing stuff ourselves. So the board has never accepted the proposed tentative apportionment, and I expect that if the board accepts my recommendation, that'll happen in the fall. It might happen in November or December. We will communicate that to everyone. And then subsequently, we're going to have a public hearing where we'll have the attorney and the economist and everybody else here. So there'll be lots of time then to review everything.
Is that, will that be the early fall, Mike? I don't really come out of October.
It'll probably be late. No, I would think it would be late fall, like after Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
or after
expect it to be late fall because we want as much participation.
Yeah, we want broad participation.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Actually, I should mention that what we did this time, which is a little different than in the past, but is consistent with our enabling legislation, is we separated the actual vote on the approval of the borrowing of $18 million from generating the tentative apportionment. And because there was enough issues developing around the tentative apportionment, then we said, let's go ahead and get the money funded. And how it gets apportioned is another issue, but it's certainly only a partial payment towards the final project. It would be our maximum payment. So by doing that, it buys us time to go through the tentative apportionment fairly thoroughly and making sure that we've got it covered. Now, having said that, people should understand that the tentative apportionment is just that, tentative. After the project is finished and all the costs are in, and after property values have changed, which they're always changing, and after objections have been raised by individuals regarding their properties or whatever it may be, we will hold, again, with public notice of what, minimum of 10 days written notice to each property owner, another public hearing. And any objections submitted in writing prior to that meeting will be discussed, and at my recommendation, discussed and voted upon by the board members. So that is most likely going to be 2022. So there's a long time between now and then. So there's opportunity to get questions answered, understand what's going on, be aware of what you're being asked to share as an assessment and so on. And everybody should have a pretty clear idea before that final hearing is held. I don't know if that's clear to you, but I just...
Can we come out, just hold on a minute, yeah. Can we come out with a timeline for him and the other people out there who really want to know when is important? Because a lot of people think this is done. And believe me, it's not.
In answer to your question, we are updating the project timeline, and we will have it. And the timeline is going to be a living document. It's going to be a living document, which will change from time to time. Right. So, for example, when the finals are going to occur requires that the project be completed and all the costs come in, and that has taken 2 years in the first case when I joined the board back in 06, so it took a long time for whatever reason, and subsequently it's taken at least a year. So all we can give you is a tentative timeline relative to when the finals are done, but the project timeline will be updated and created, and we will communicate to people. And I think that'll be more clearly communicated in the fall. But people who are reacting to it as if this is the last hurrah, it's not. There's still opportunity.
It was a bit of a shock when our building came in at a 500% increase.
What's your building, Tom?
Sunset Captiva Bayside.
Okay. Yeah.
And it all had to do with a little slice of real estate on the beachfront that all of a sudden, because they discovered that, they called us beachfront. We're bayfront.
Yeah, we hear you. By the way, the board is not in agreement that that's clearly settled the way it needs to be done. The board is discussing that. And we've been looking at it and trying to find alternate methods and other ways to try to handle it. So the truth of the matter is that the economist discovered something new, and in his tentative submittal to the board, again, which has not been accepted by the board, he came up with an approach that is still being debated as to what's the right thing to do.
All right. Well, I appreciate you hearing me out, but everybody in our building was in a state of shock over that. We thought we better be preemptive and get out there. Mm-hmm. Like me, I never show up at a meeting in 20 years, but when you
I got
tell
a
me
picture
my
of
beach
you,
reassessment
actually.
Is going to go from $3,000 to $18,000, I better start showing up at some meetings.
That's right.
Well, let me make two comments on that. One is that is not settled. That is preliminary tentative, if you want to call it that, right? The second thing is that the last apportionment that was done was based on a $15 million referendum commitment by the people to be assessed up to $15 million. The actual assessment after the project was finished and we got grants from the various, and despite the fact that the Army Corps pulled out at $7 million, that came down to about $5.7 million assessment. So you're looking at a worst case scenario, even if it were to go the way it's going to go, and I'm saying it probably won't, okay? So it's a worst case scenario, and we didn't show a range. We simply put out a form that had a maximum that you might see. What we intend to do in the fall is, before you actually get invited to that public hearing, the letter that invites you is going to have a high to low range, so you'll have an idea. And the last time it came out, possibly even below the low range, but very close to the low. There's no prediction because we don't know what we're going to get. But frankly,
but if I can add to that,
Last
nourishment, there was also an estimated range of which the actuals came in very close to the low end of that range.
On what it would cost to do the project.
Right.
Yes.
So everyone that had property in 2011, 12, and 13 would have gotten that range. So it's not, you may have paid five or whatever the number was, but I guarantee you the upper range of that five was more like 12 or 13.
Right. Yeah, Tom,
Go ahead.
Our share was $6 million, Mike, roughly?
Last time?
Yeah.
Actually, Captiva as a whole paid a little over $7 million.
Okay,
the,
so $7 million.
The CEPD contributed $2 million from reserves, and I'll touch on that in a minute, but go ahead. So it came to 5.7, under
so,
six.
Let's say six, and right now we're projecting 18. So you should triple your bill last year, and that's a flat. That's flat. Then you're even. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense to you?
That's
my point.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Okay. So what did you say? Three? You paid $5,000 last time?
I paid $3,000.
Three. Okay.
And the new estimate.
And that was based on a $6 million. That was based on a $6 million bill for Captivans. Okay.
Okay.
Right now we're projecting an $18 million hit. So if you triple your the six, which is what Captiva paid last time, to our initial projections of 18, that should be your baseline. That's with nothing changed.
So again, that's the
so your three is really a nine using the same math as last time. That's all I'm trying. So it's not like you're up 500%. You're up, what did you say, with 18?
Three to 18.
So you've only doubled.
That's
so
what I'm trying to make.
And I'm not trying to be cavalier. It's a big, it was a big hit. I don't blame me. I should be in shock. But there's been a lot of hysteria, I think, a lot of misinformation and people acting out of faulty and incomplete knowledge. And so my point, though, is your baseline using the same arithmetic last time is 9, not 3.
Well, I think that it isn't the arithmetic that is scaring us as much as reclassification from a bayfront to beachfront.
Right.
And beachfront involves storm protection. We're bayfront. We don't need storm protection.
Understood.
There's a whole lot of other variables that seems to have dropped onto our property. And none of the other properties.
But my only point is, if we had that completely resolved to your satisfaction, you could expect 9 for your tentative apportionment. Again, if we completely took out the knowledge that we now have that your group of people have some sort of, your group of, the association has some sort of beach front ownership, even though you live on the back. That's all I'm trying to say. Everybody's, you know, responded with some alarm, and I understand that.
Right.
But it's not just this piece of land that we discovered. It also has the fact that we're basing it on a three times larger project. So that's all I'm trying to point out.
And on my unit, which I rent 12 weeks a year,
right?
And I have...
So you're not homesteaded.
I don't want to say older people, but they're older people. The kids don't come in and rent my unit with 15 kids and go to the beach. They're reading a book on the dock, you know, and they're not down there ripping up the beach, which is the other beef that we had, that they have us rated as a hotel, the highest rating, which is ludicrous.
Who has you rated as a hotel? Sorry.
Well, that's the way we were formulated last time. Since the Captiva, I think, fell into the same kind of rating.
I don't think so.
Is that wrong?
Well,
that's wrong.
Hotel is commercial. That's the highest rating. You were rated as condominium.
If I may now, in the interest of time, because we have a lot of material. Now, what I was going to say to you is, I understand your concern and why you're showing up, and I'm trying to say to you that we've heard this argument well and listened, and there's a fair amount of agreement with some of the issues that you've raised, but it's also premature. If you come, you'll get a notice in the mail, come in the fall, we'll have more information, this will have probably been settled. I will say that, you know, myself and some of the staff and some of the other commissioners are spending a lot of time looking at all of the apportionments and different ways to do it. And we're trying to be understanding and mindful of the economist that historically he didn't have the information to show the common element. But it doesn't necessarily pass the smell test as to being the best way to go about dealing with it. So, and we're trying to deal with that.
Well, thank you for filling me in.
Yeah, and I just wanted to touch on that because that was not our intention for today's meeting. I wanted to touch on it in case you wanted to go. You're welcome to stay for the whole meeting. But
I would love to listen to you guys discuss sand buckets for the next 3 hours, but I'm only here for another 8 days. I'd love to leave.
Okay, Tom, so we've given you a chance to escape.
I'm assuming that between now and November, there may be different segments of issues within this plan that we're going to be discussing.
Right.
It isn't one issue. So I don't know if it's possible, Mike, but each meeting, if we can maybe narrow down one subject or and make it out in the agenda where if you say it's Sunset Captiva, right, you know, this month we're going to maybe talk about that. I don't know if that's possible.
It is, and it's actually a good idea. You guys are also condos over there, right?
Right.
So one of the issues that's been raised is are you beachfront, right?
Yeah.
And it seems pretty rational
next
that you're not.
Next to Jensen's Marina.
Hold on. The next issue is...
Say that again. I didn't hear the last part, that they're not beachfront.
No, I'm saying it's pretty obvious. Here's the condo. He's talking about the part of Sunset Captiva that's on the other side of the road
on the bay.
Actually,
our whole association for the Bayside, we're a separate association, Sunset Captiva Bayside.
Yeah.
Because we are Bayside right next to Jensen's Marina.
But what confused matters is you may still own this element on the beach.
My point is that ground is owned by everyone at Sunset Captiva.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Right. So, but there's, again, we need to sort this out. So I'm saying there's one issue is that you're condos.
Exactly.
Hold on.
And association.
Guys, please, let me just, because I want to move on to the next business, right? But we're looking at the issue of whether the apportionment between condos as compared to single-family homes is fair. That's been raised, and that's being researched. The subject of whether how to treat your common element or whatever is being raised. There is a property down the road from you called Gulfway, which, so you're not being singled out, but they also have a situation where a corporation owns a piece of land which is a 40-foot wide access, and they've been paying no assessments in recent years for reasons that I don't understand, but and we're addressing that. But there's a variety of issues, and Dave's point about if we can take one of those issues, and I think we will, publicly, it doesn't mean that you have to be here for it, it doesn't mean it won't come up again, but if we come up with what we think is a good solution to it, we will talk about it. And taking one of those, you know, each meeting where we don't have too many other items on the agenda is fine. And we have actually been very flexible at discussing a lot of these issues at every meeting that's come up. So even
Mike,
though
you don't have to say anymore. I appreciate you letting me go down the bunny trail. On that note,
bad analogy.
So you can all sigh a breath of relief.
Okay. Yeah, enjoy your summer, Tom.
That's right.
Yeah. Hold up, Dave, I think, has the same.
Yeah, if I could just bring up one very minor point, and admittedly, this is the tentative apportionment from last month.
I'm sorry, for the record, your name?
Dave Saunders.
Thank you.
And I also live in Sunset Captiva. Bayside, thank you. When I look at my line going across, my assessment's $29,073. So $29,000, a little over. The very next line is Jensen's on the Gulf LLC, and it says multifamily under 10. Their just value is a good deal higher than mine, but their assessment's $21,048. So I'm at 29. Jensen's on the Gulf is at 21.
Yeah. Well, there's two Jensen's on the Gulf properties, and one is not beachfront. And I don't know which one you're looking at.
All I can say is, and even the just value is a good deal higher than mine.
Well, the just value
Can I stop you both for a second?
Sorry.
Because I really think it's a moot argument. I think when that's looked at again, that will be looked at differently, is my opinion. And you'll have opportunity. But for people to be wringing their hands currently over this, to be honest with you, is premature. And don't, you know, enjoy your summer and don't worry about it. We'll fix it. And we'll address it more carefully in the fall.
But I'm going to look at that myself.
Perfect.
Yeah, and other people have shown me examples of a house on Whiteman Lane that's twice the value of a condo in Hideaway, let's say, or whatever, and yet the condo in Hideaway is paying a larger assessment. Now, some of these are you know, anecdotal, you know, matters that there may be other factors at play, or it may be that they just happen to be, you know, in a cluster of category that affects them a certain way, and we're going to try to address that as best possible.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Okay, any other public comments? I'm sorry, in the back.
Joel Howard, City of Sandville Natural Resource
Hi,
Department.
Joel.
So Carolyn had asked me to speak on what's going on with the erosion that around St. Cap Road.
Right.
And so we have, like I said at the last meeting, we have our coastal engineer, Humison and Moore. They're working on the permitting. So with the idea, what we're trying to do there is install a riprap revetment, you know, about 50 feet off of the road. There already is an existing riprap revetment buried underneath the sand there, done sometime in the 90s. I believe it was a Lee County DOT project. Some of that riprap is beginning to become exposed from some buttonwoods and sea grapes that are starting to be undermined and fall into the Gulf there. So about two weeks ago, we approved a contract with Humiston & Moore, and we had a survey done. I haven't seen the results of the survey yet. It was finished up either early last week or late 2 weeks ago to assess how much sand is going to need to be placed and then where the riprap can be placed. The additional riprap revetment. We'll be, for the sand placement, I believe we'll be, piggybacking off of the existing permit, the CEPD permit, but we need to get an additional permit for the riprap installation there. So Humiston & Moore, they were actually up in Tallahassee meeting with DEP on Friday, late Friday. They had two meetings. I haven't been, we're planning on speaking with them tomorrow or the day after about the results of that meeting, but a brief overview is that it seemed to go positive, and Brett Moore would kind of express the emergency nature of this. And again, the issue isn't the sand placement, it's putting this additional riprap revetment there, because putting sand there, just in our engineer's opinion, putting sand there right now, especially while we're getting a few more cold fronts, it's probably just going to be a final effort. It'll probably wash away immediately. So we're looking for, and the whole idea too, again, of this additional riprap would be a trigger point for future emergencies, so that we don't get to this point moving forward.
People have asked me, what is the probability? I walk over there every day, and people bump into me. What is the probability that that road could wash out? I know that's hard to say, because it depends on the nature of storms and so on, but are you guys feeling pretty secure that the riprap that's there is currently protective enough?
James Evans' opinion, yeah. The Director of Natural Resources, he feels pretty confident. If anyone has anything to add, they can feel free to add to this, but with that, the riprap, the boulders that are there, it seems like it's probably akin to what was what's over by between waters, which is currently buried, probably what it looked like in the 80s. And actually didn't realize, those are some pretty massive boulders that are there on the curb over there. So I don't see, it hasn't been expressed that there's alarm, or anything like that.
Yeah, Hans, you were here in the 80s. Is it the same, roughly the same nature of riprap, or is this a stronger riprap than was in front of Tween Waters Road?
Well, all the work in front of Tween Waters and along the Gold Coast was all DEP specified control line size boulders. I would presume that was
same prior to the road washing out?
No, I'm talking about the size rock that goes into the section along Sanibel there?
No, but what I'm saying is I didn't make my question clear. What was in front of Tween Waters before the road washed out? How would that compare? Was there riprap there in front of the road, and was it similar to what's existing right now? That's what I was trying to understand.
There's rock in front of the road at Tween Waters, large boulders, and I don't know the size of the boulders in front of the section of Sanibel.
Yeah, but I'm not making my self clear. I'm saying in the 1980s, in 1987, when the road washed out, prior to that, do you know whether there was substantial riprap there or was it insufficient? I'm just curious as to whether
at Tween Waters or
in front of the Tween Waters stretch on Captiva, before the road washed out in 1987, was it an insufficient riprap? Is that part of the reason the road washed out, or was there no riprap, or do you know?
No, there was rock there. The problem was that it mostly was not up to a design standard.
Okay.
Just rock was thrown in.
So that answers my question. So basically, it wasn't adequately designed, but you don't know what the nature of what's on Sanibel, so we'll hear more about that. So. Okay, any questions?
There's so many other variables that go into that.
No, I know, but I think that's an important variable. I just was curious about it. So.
Thank you, Bill.
Well, just to further answer your question, nowadays they have boulders, and they are using boulders that lock in. In the old days, I think the truck just came and dropped the boulders down there. So your engineer, I presume, is doing it the proper way. It's a lot different now than it was in 1980.
Sure, yeah. The project, for the riprap that's existing there, that's buried
right
on the edge of Sand Cap Road, that was
right
permitted. and everything.
Because they're all locked, it's all locked in now.
I'm sorry?
It's all locked in by another big boulder.
That and, you know, yeah, vegetation, it, you know, I'm sure it was revegetated. You had some pretty mature buttonwoods and cedars right. that have grown over there. And when and I mentioned this last meeting too, but you know, when the sand, eventually when we do get the sand placement, there's going to be a restoration component to it too. We're going to, do plantings and everything, firm that sand up the best we can.
There was an email from Councilman, Sanibel City Councilman Jason Vaughn, that basically went out to a lot of people. I got a copy of it, and other people in Santiva got it, and so on. That said that the erosion was not going to even get close to the road, something to that effect. And then people got alarmed because suddenly it looked like it got a lot closer in the last week or so. So maybe at some point a communication that to people to let them know that what's there or what you think, et cetera, would be useful. Because a lot of people are in a panic.
Sure.
They're looking at alternative ways to get out of that area. Anyway, thanks very much. Just wanted you to know that. Okay, financial report, Bob.
The only thing I'd like to point is that March's parking revenues are 24% above what we budgeted, which is pretty much what last year's numbers were, so that's still great news. And year-to-date, 18% above budget, so...
When you said compared to last year's, you say it was budgeted at last year's number, or
The budget is usually last year's number.
Okay.
Or close to there. But, I mean, we're running 18% year-to-date right now.
Great.
Above budget, so if we keep that pace, it's about $70,000 over budget. That's all said.
And for Captivans or anybody interested who's here,
let's just back, say that.
Back years ago, we put all that money into reserve, whatever is generated out of the parking, to be able to reduce the cost of the assessment when the project is assessed. So, and we usually accumulate a couple of $1 million over
right.
the 8-year period to reduce the assessment.
Parking's a good thing. And Carol and Joe, I mean, when do you get the financials from the county?
We're supposed to get them on Thursdays. We didn't get this one until Friday, around 11-ish.
I just need to see them before the meeting so I can take an in-depth look. Thanks. That's all I have.
Okay, old business. The beach vehicle SOPs, has that been... settled?
We got them back with suggestions from SCCF, which we took into consideration. Everything looked acceptable to us. The only change that really we made from their suggestions, which is what's included in your packet, are they suggested that we only take the go out and monitor the beach once a month. That's not going to work for us. So I just took out the time frame.
Okay.
So,
what pages?
Keeping in mind,
where are we?
This is page, it starts 30? On page
31?
27.6. So there are actually two SOPs here. One is for the official beach conduct, and then the other is for the official beach vehicle usage. What we'd like is a motion to approve them, keeping in mind that these are SOPs, so of course. They're a living document, and will definitely be before you if we notice anything that needs to have changes or updates as time goes on, because they are new, we'd like them approved.
Yeah, first of all, it's a living document, which means as we go forward, if there's issues and we have to change it, we can. But if you want to include in there that says no more than necessary.
Okay.
We don't want to be going out there on joy rides, we know that. Okay. That was what the SCCF was afraid, that we would be putting excessive wear and tear on the beach and the nests and other things out there. So it's intended to be used as necessary.
Can I ask you, somebody brought this up the other day to me, did we buy a two-wheel drive vehicle?
We did buy a two-wheel drive vehicle first, and
okay.
then Hans and I took it out on a maiden run and got stuck. So
right.
we returned it and got a 4x4 vehicle,
okay,
and they gave us the same price as the 2x4.
Okay.
Why did we get the 2x4? Because that's what the salesman recommended.
Oh. prior to you coming on, though, I sent the specs of the Polaris's that the fire department has, the police, and what we buy at South Seas, and it's completely different than the vehicle we bought, so somewhere it got disconnected, I guess, but that's fine.
We didn't. We actually had... the police. Mike Sawicki strongly urges not to get the Polaris, as whatever his rationale was to it. I suggested the two of them talk, and he urged against it.
I don't think it was actually Mike. I think it was Chris.
Okay.
But
yeah. Lee Sheriff's Office advised it. But we were satisfied that what we have now is working and giving us access when necessary.
Okay. Thank God it's four-wheel drive.
Did we get all the crab traps off the beach, by the way? I know we started that.
You got a bunch of those off, didn't you? Yeah.
That's besides the point. That's not the subject. So do I hear a motion to approve the standard operating procedure for operating the vehicle when necessary? Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion just to...
Okay, I'll second the motion. Discussion, does anybody have any...
I would like to... What will happen if we don't approve this system?
If we don't what? I'm
right
sorry.
Now, what we're very... We don't really want to use the vehicle until we get some...
Okay.
Approval.
So and the reason I asked, I apologize. I read through it, but I didn't make notes, and I thought I remembered it was given into great detail on what we do, mm-hmm. and for some reason I got a memory of a concern, and I apologize. So, I mean, if there's an understanding that, you know, I have no problem voting to approve it, but if I go back through it, and, you know, I'm a little concerned about what we're the scope of what we're doing here, other than just, you know, for erosion purposes.
And again, it is a living document, so if you were to approve it today, go home, read it, and go, no, I really don't like this
so
part,
changed.
We can bring it to the next
okay.
meeting
mm-hmm.
to update.
Thank you. Okay.
Of course.
During the discussion stage, I would say we welcome feedback from the community relative to things that they see going on the beach that we ought to be aware of. So, for example, if people are decimating the dunes or putting equipment in where it shouldn't be or whatever it may be. In the case of the storms that have thrown a lot of traps up on the beach, crab traps, we'd like to know about it. We have some signage and we have some rope and bollard out there that don't last forever, and we don't want it to look unattractive, but they serve a purpose to try to separate the dune area from the more publicly utilized beach. So we want to know from people, and so we don't want to have to always go out there monitoring to find that out. So if people see something, you know, please, they should inform us. However, absent that feedback, we will periodically be looking to go out there to do things like collect these crab traps and take them off the beach. You know, these are crab traps that are thrown up by storm. If we see large holes and other things, we do not intend to fill those holes and correct them, but we will attempt to reach out to whatever condo association or community they're near, and maybe a homeowner, to just suggest that they, if they have people staying at their place digging big holes, and I've seen some massive holes out there, you know, they please fill them. But anyway, so things we can do to improve utilization of the beach without being invasive ourselves in the process. And we do need to check out how some of our, you know, dune grasses are growing and other things. So it's not intended to be very extensively used. It's definitely not a joyride vehicle. And when we get closer to the nourishment and we're getting recommendations from the engineers or whatever, when they need to go and follow up on how nourishment is going, there's opportunity to get out there and look at the progress so that we can report it to people. I was just going to lastly say, when we've had fish kills in the past, the CEPD has increased its profile relative to getting the county out and taking a bigger role in making sure that massive fish kills are cleaned up. Again, this has typically been done either by renting a vehicle once in a while or walking the beach. Walking the beach is not very, you know, practical. It's tough. Anyway, any other comments?
Do we have a sign for the vehicle?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So we're having them made.
So is it clear that, like, CEPD is painted on the vehicle?
People, that's what I mean. Yeah.
There
yeah.
will be a sticker on the front of the hood that has a big old CEPD, okay. and then below it, TDC, because they gave us the funds. And then on the sides, we'll also have a CEPD on both sides and a CEPD.
And it's neon, correct?
Right, orange with purple.
Okay. Is it appropriate to have TDC on it?
Whatever, if they, I mean, less respect where the money came from, I guess. But okay, is there any further discussion?
Nope.
You want to call the vote?
marketing fee.
It's your motion, Harry. Okay, call the vote.
Move the vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? None. Okay, what's...
You were going to make a motion you mentioned earlier about moving the conversations to the fall?
Yes.
I can't make a motion as chairman without stepping out of the chair, but I think... let's finish the SOPs.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Did we cover everything? It covered beach conduct as well as the vehicle. You got approval of both SOPs? Okay. All right. So then, relative to this subject that we were talking about with the tentative apportionment, there's a subject down there called next steps, and we can cover that then. I'll ask for a motion at that point mm-hmm. in time. Let me go through the rest of the schedule here. The fiscal year 17-18 financial audit, Bob, we got an updated draft on that?
We did.
And are you recommending that the board approve it?
I am. But based on what I saw and approved the other day, is it in the book?
It is in the book, page 60, as is the only page that had the changes. And most of that reflected the numbers. We wanted to confirm the approximate 6 miles of shoreline were re-nourished, and we did confirm those numbers with Aptum and through our reports. And then we also, the board had asked that we add in how much the DEC paid and how much Lee County paid. And I got those figures from a final report that Kathy Rooker had put together, and also from our deposits made into the Capital Bank account for the period of 2010 through 2015. And then
before you leave that point,
yes.
I think my specific request was to also identify what the CEPT contributed from reserves. I don't know if that's in there now.
That's the very last line. It's the $2 million.
Well, just tell me which page you're on. So
page
60. Page 60. Got it. Okay.
The first note 5. 24.
Okay, got it.
That's sent to the first paragraph. Mm.
Yeah, because I think that would be useful for people who are asking questions about the apportionment and so on, is to know that while we originally asked for $15 million, Captiva's share was actually combined. 5.6 were assessed to property owners, and another $2 million came from reserves from excess parking revenues. And also, if we don't spend everything in the ad valorem budget every year, we budget a certain amount of money, whatever's left over goes into that same reserve.
And my only request was that you verify the numbers.
And they were verified.
Okay. Yeah. So would you like to make a motion, Bob, that we approve?
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we approve the annual audit for last year with the addition of the special assessments that we just reviewed.
I'll second. Any discussion?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And they are to be filed before June.
Yes. What I do now, the next step is I let Daniel know that Daniel from Molden and Jenkins that we approved it, and then they will create the final draft.
Okay, great. Final draft. And then that gets submitted online to the Department of Revenue. Okay. All right, Turner Beach permitting. Is there anything on that?
Yes, we had a request from Turner Beach to approve their. They want to do some work on Turner Beach.
For Sanibel.
For Brad and Sanibel, yes. And so, because it is on Captiva, we need to approve that before they do anything. So we have two gentlemen here from Coastal Engineering. Mm-hmm. They give us a presentation on that.
So, my name's Jerry Hergett with Coastal Engineering. The city of Sanibel contacted us to do some improvements out at Turner Beach Parking. There were two issues at hand. One was the erosion inside the parking lot, and two was the riprap along the shoreline has really dilapidated over time. It's never really been re-nourished or rehabilitated since its original construction. So this is an overall look at the parking lot. What we've got are, we looked at what the erosion issue is, and most of that's coming off the highway. The current stormwater system, it basically bypasses that system. It's right here on either side of the bridge. It flows down the road, through the parking lot, and out through the riprap. So step one was to address that. We're going to do that through a number of catch basins and reroute it back to the existing stormwater basin that's here. And then two,
I understand that. So the water that hits the bridge in the walking path or the road, whatever, will run along the wall. And when it gets down there, you're saying it's basically getting it off the bridge area before, instead of routing directly into the stormwater basin that's there. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so half the bridge is kind of split. So half the water on the bridge goes to Sanibel, half the water goes to Captiva. The original design was to have that routed to two stormwater catch basins that are right here at the base of the bridge. That doesn't really work. The Jersey barriers that are alongside the road actually direct the water past those basins, and then it continues to flow down the road and wrap into the lowest area, which is the parking lot.
The basins themselves are fine, though? They don't need pumped out? Or
the basins are a little bit high. They have some sediment in them. As part of our design, we are going to put them back to proposed or their permitted state. So I'll get into that.
If I may, you're just dealing with the Captiva side of the bridge, correct?
Yes, this is all on Captiva side. Yeah,
and both sides, both the inside and outside of the bridge, if you will. In other words, I noticed there's erosion occurring over on the side, on the inside of the pass.
Over in here?
Yeah.
On the inside of the pass. No, we are not addressing anything on the inside of the pass.
Okay, well, where that catch basin is, it looks to me like there's a lot of exposure of whatever that grid of black material that's holding a lot of the riprap that's in there. So that's not part of your...
Not at this time, no.
Okay.
No, we're purely looking at... So the city of Sanibel has an agreement with Lee County to maintain the park. So that's how we've gotten involved, looking mainly at the parking lot area.
Okay.
So what we're doing is addressing that runoff issue as it enters the parking lot. So what we've proposed...
While he finds that, as a separate aside, Carolyn, we might want to reach out to the Department of Transportation and see if it's their responsibility to deal with what's occurring on the other side.
Sure.
Because I see some serious erosion occurring over there.
So we have met on site with Lee County DOT and just kind of discussed our plans and the issues that we were having. So and they've been a part of our review process so far. So this permit was originally permitted with the Water Management District. So what we've gone ahead and done is put back in a modification to the existing permit. So this is the proposed plan. We're going to put an asphalt curtain in at the entrance of the parking lot. There will be one catch basin at the entrance. There will be another catch basin at the very south end of the parking lot. And we propose to put a concrete armor mat at that end. So all the water in the parking lot will either slope towards one or the other catch basin, and then they'll be routed via a concrete pipe to the stormwater basin.
And what happens to that stormwater then, once it's collected? Does it go right back into the Gulf?
It does. It does. So there is a weir structure that was originally designed as part of the stormwater basin that has deteriorated over time. We will be putting that back to its proposed grade. So.
Well, obviously not treated. Anything that's on the ground gets in there and goes right into the water.
Correct. As part of the original permit, the basin is vegetated, so there will be some vital cleaning. But
and you mentioned something about a concrete.
Yeah. So this shaded area down here, all of the erosion that happens in the parking lot is focused really at the south side. We're going to build that up, and as part of that, armor this section of the parking lot. It'll be a semi-permeable surface. The rain will still permeate it. It's just with cars driving on it and this stormwater erosion, we just felt like that was the best solution for this area. Also, as part of this, we are proposing that the dune, this access be closed and this dune extended. That'll protect this end of the parking lot from stormwater erosion that typically tops this riprap shoreline. So this dune will be the same elevation as the existing dune right here between this accesses, and then we'll be planting it with the native species that are already occurring in this dune.
So the access is, there's a sort of a walkway with whatever it is, some type of a material on it to go by the parking meter. Is that going to be the only access from that area out?
Yes, okay. That will be the only access.
Is that going to be widened or anything? I'm just curious as to...
Well, that was originally designed that way, correct?
Yes.
To have one access there. Over time, it's kind of washed out, so then it became...
Well, the reason why I'm asking is there's like a Moby mat down there where there is an access. My experience is that people find accesses.
Right, right. No, I'm with you.
So I'm wondering what else we're going to do besides just planting dunes there to make sure they don't, when they're at that end of the parking lot, they don't just decide to head. Or people fish off the groin there a lot, and they come walking back. Now they got to go walking over to that. I'm just curious about deterrence to keep them from, you know,
wearing it down. Yeah, so we are going to extend the fence line that's currently there. That fence line will come all the way down to the riprap. Yeah. So they will not be able to, unless they walk over the dune that we're planting or on the riprap itself, they will not be able to walk through the sand area.
I can't picture the fence. Could you describe the fence that you're talking about?
The fence is a three-slat wooden fence. It's just a post with three wooden slats.
Like a horse corral.
Yeah. Okay.
So pretty easy scalable, though.
Yes, yes. If they wanted to scale it, they could.
Right. How much are you going to build that end up?
I think it's about 4 feet. Okay. That dune will be about 4 feet tall. And then, so the permit we submitted for a field permit for the dune extension, we've already got that in hand. So that has already been approved through DEP. So the last element that we wanted to talk about was.
So all your work is
landward? Can I copy of that?
Yes, all our work is landward, except for the riprap.
Do we have a copy of this work?
I don't think so. This is different than what you sent me last time, correct?
No, the link had all these.
The link had all
these. Yeah, the link had all these documents in it.
We can get it to you.
Just share us the link, is fine.
Okay.
For me, I don't know. Yeah. I don't want more paper.
That's fine. I think CC.
Yeah.
Okay, so the last element was the riprap shoreline. This shoreline is about 300 feet long. We will be tying into where the current CEPD district has basically already done some rehabilitation and extension of the dune. So we will be tying into that from the bridge all the way out to that point, which is pretty much where the parking lot ends. We will be raising it to an elevation of 6.0. We will not be going outside of the existing footprint. It'll all be within the existing. Just be building it up with a rock size that's similar to what's on the groin extension seaward at that point.
Number of parking spaces the same?
So the number of parking spaces will stay the same.
When do you expect all this to be finished?
That's a good question. Right now what we're looking for is approval from the board to move forward with the proposed. What we've gotten, we've done some initial consultation with DEP on this, and what they've asked for us to get is approval from all the stakeholders involved. So a letter of concurrence or a letter of support from you guys is what we're seeking for today.
Well, unless there's further questions.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, Bob stepped out, but I would ask for a motion from the board to approve.
Can I just add something real quick?
Yes, please, yes.
We did ask Aptum, our engineers, to review this for us, and they said that due to the scale and the location of the riprap rehabilitation project, it appears to be proposed in a manner that will not affect the beach nourishment project.
Okay. Honestly, did you have any opinions on this? No.
I'd like to make a motion to approve.
All right, I'll second the motion. Yeah, go ahead. What's your question? This is discussion.
Oh, yeah. So,
go ahead.
Is there anything? Is it too? The whole thing out the trash and the stuff on the ground washes in and then goes directly to the Gulf. That is there anything we can do about that? Okay, you'd be surprised at maybe you wouldn't be surprised. I've been surprised, but by the variety of refuse and waste that fishermen leave on Blind Pass Bridge. That's washed in, and I guess, I don't know where it goes, but it's in the trap or not. You're suggesting that it doesn't go into the trap, which was improperly engineered originally. But I see, I see things go into that trap and then how it's into the water. I don't know whether that's worth even discussing or considering.
Okay. it's definitely something we can look at.
Yes, I don't know if it's worth.
Okay.
I don't know how big an issue it is, to be perfectly honest with you. And I don't even know if there's a fix to it. You know, that you could do it if you're aware of it.
Okay.
Would that wash out into that basin?
Yeah, the existing stormwater basin is functioning. It's just it's a little dilapidated. So.
So if what you're talking about, Mike, it's something that gets in the basin can be picked up if it's part of a.
Just for clarity's sake, that bowl is what you're referring to.
Yes. So this would be the approximate size of the basin.
Yeah. There's a lot of plantings around the basin, and it's still well vegetated, but it looks like it should capture water and so on.
Yep. So this will be the weir. It will be of the same material that the concrete armor mat, and it'll flow through the riprap, so that there'll be some sort of filtration. Hopefully it'll stay inside the basin.
And the water on the inside of the bridge there on the
north.
Yeah, right there. There's water that goes there. It's not part of this, but it is seems to be something's causing erosion over there. But your plan is.
Yeah, it was not part of what we were contracted to look at.
Right.
But to your point,
there's a metal grate there that captures water.
Yes.
Is that going to be adjusted, or did you re-engineer? Did you say?
No.
Okay. To your point, Mike, we should probably. I'm not sure it's within the purview of the CEPD, but there are issues on the northern side of the bridge. First of all, there's waste baskets only on the park that's related to the park, if you want to call it, but I think Sanibel staff do come out from time to time and clean both sides of the bridge. So we should probably get together with Sanibel or somebody or to the DOT and ask them to do something about the other side of the bridge because there's issues there. So, but that's outside of your bailiwick as well. So, but I think we should, Mike. Panel might be the place for that. Okay. Call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. Commissioner, let the record show that Commissioner Walter has stepped out.
So what I will do to move forward then is I'll create a letter of support.
Yes.
And once it's finished, I'll send it to all of you for your review, but that Chairman Mullins on your signature.
Yes, you got it.
Great.
But it should be short.
Yes.
To the point letter.
I mean, just for the record, the catch basins that exist actually go several hundred feet up Captiva Drive, just prior to my house, the Sheets house. And at some point after Hurricane Charlie, when they remodeled, that got closed in. Now, I don't know whether that causes any backup or whatever, so I reported it to DOT, and I discussed it with them, and rather than affect the signpost or whatever, the sign, not the signpost, but the sign wall that they have, they wound up just putting a dry well there. So I don't know what happens to that water. I guess it just eventually permeates the ground, but it runs all the way from the bridge. And it's a fair amount of water. In heavy rains, it's a great deal of water, and I can see why the erosion occurs. It's very significant. So I had to build a berm in front of my driveway to keep the water from rushing down my driveway and into Blind Pass. So, but the DOT's approach was to build a dry well, not very large.
Yeah, we walked to that basin while we were on site with DOT, and
the systems on the north side.
The systems are separate, so they're not connected.
Okay, great.
Yep.
Thank you,
Carolyn. I've dropped all those on your laptop.
Great, thank you.
Parking lot survey.
Yeah, we're gonna go ahead with that.
We found it. So we're going to bring it tomorrow to our meeting with Lee County and start the process of permitting.
Okay, just for clarity's sake, so we're talking about the land survey, if you will, of the existing Allison Hagera parking area, that we're going to be adding bathrooms in there, and we needed the survey to be able to help design the work and so on and so forth. Is that the survey you're referring to?
To run the utilities.
And run the utilities. No. Okay.
So we didn't have to get a new survey done?
That's right.
Well, we'll find out tomorrow.
We're meeting with the county tomorrow to discuss the matter. Okay. And then after you've done that, I assume we're going to start to put out a timeline of when we expect this to happen. So.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Very good. Yeah. Very good.
You didn't want them anymore, did you, Mike? Because they just left.
No, I didn't. We were done with them. Yeah. Okay. Website redesign.
So we talked a little bit about a goal of getting a new website together to launch hopefully by June 19, which is our 60th anniversary, right? Yes. And Joe's going to give you a report on that.
I met with the company last Thursday and gave them the specifications on what we require now. The current bids were a little bit older, so we just want to get fresh.
Who is the company that we're talking about?
Connect SWFL. And they were one of the lowest bidders, so I decided to meet with them personally and get things going. So that should be moving forward quickly now. He's giving me a new price. I should get this next week. And then we'll get started.
Okay, so the board needs to get a report on cost and approve that and so on, right? Unless it's within, is it within chairman signing? I don't know what the price is.
Well, looking back, I was under the impression you guys approved a certain
Maybe problem. We did. Did we?
I think we did.
I think you did, but I'll have to double check that. But I also think it was under the 2,500, wasn't it?
We're going to make sure it is.
Yes.
Okay, but do the commissioners want to see anything about the design of this before we go ahead and commit it?
I mean, we'll definitely, you know, once we get a design together, of course we want you to review it and let it, you know, give us your ideas and your input and everything.
Okay.
This is just to move forward with the basics.
Okay. One of the biggest concerns about the previous website is loading new information up there prior to meetings and so on was challenging.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we want to be able to do that. We want to be able to very timely put up information. We want people who in the public want to see agendas of the meetings, see minutes after the meetings, whatever else it may be, and all that information should be able to be loaded quite easily. Now, what about the idea of the apportionment data that we've said in the past that we would, is that going to be part of this project?
I'm going to build it to where we can bring that in. So whenever you have the final apportionment, I want to make it to where it's
Let's not even talk final or time. Just saying, if the public wants to be able to look at their individual property and see what the assessment is, we've said we'd like to incorporate that. Now, maybe that was not part of the design request, but it should be.
I'm asking for a separate price for that work.
Okay.
Yeah. Because what we'd really like to do, we think it'd be great if we actually had the map of Captiva, and they could click on their address, and up it comes.
That's really
or enter their address. I mean, there should be multiple ways to be able to.
Right.
But the point is that, and it shouldn't just be, it ought to be very similar to, I want to say it's called pictometry that the property appraiser uses, but it ought to be quite similar to that.
I'm trying to recreate the wheel.
Exactly,
so there's a lot of plenty of good maps out there that I want to bring into our website.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but I'm not just talking about the app. I'm saying the method that pictometry works is you can go in with a name or you can go in with an address. You can look at an individual property, and then it allows you to sort of scroll in each direction and see the data.
Mm-hmm.
I don't particularly like it at times because I find that even though I enter the right name and address, it doesn't always get the information, so it seems to be very sensitive. But the user interface is what I'm talking about. It's a user interface that's easy for people to go in and see their property and see other properties and whatever. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't know whether it should connect or not connect to the property appraisers database. Probably it should not. But nevertheless, I'm just saying, make it a user-friendly user interface.
So it's not that expensive for us. Redo all that would be about a little bit of money.
Okay, but I would like to try to do it in such a way that in the fall, when we finally have accepted tentative apportionments, it's available.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to combine the two just so that when the effort is being done, it's covering the whole picture. So, and that should reduce the amount of work that you do in the office dealing with all these inquiries and so on.
That is our goal, too.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. It is. It's challenging.
Well, you have experience in this now, right?
So 20 years, sir.
Well, it should be a big help then, let me tell you. If you can't do it, nobody can do it.
Yeah, on the other hand, he's got a lot of stuff on his plate, so we don't necessarily want him doing
that. That's why
work.
We're hiring the other company, so I...
I understand, but at least you know what you're talking about to them.
Yes, sir.
That's good.
So when do you think you'll have a schedule of so that we can know when to look at the design? I'm not pressing you to say it today, but...
Late next week.
Okay, so you'll set us out a schedule on that then. Okay. Anything else on the website? Any questions? Okay. And Sassy's has agreed to pay for this whole thing, is what you're saying?
That's what you voted on, right?
Checks in the mail.
When Bob was out.
When Bob was gone. Sorry, joking.
They may want that logo on.
Okay, referendum next steps. I'm not sure the terminology, but what we're saying is one is federal funding issues, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. We talked about that. You've got a letter on that and you want to address, right?
Yes. I had a conversation with Laurel Reichel. She is a project manager for our district with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Some of the things that she told us, I did hand out a paper to you of notes that she and I went over. She said that one of the things is that the that determines.
I see people looking. When you say you handed it out, it's in this package or
no,
it was in
it,
an email?
It was one of the front top part, yeah. Pages of your.
Okay, got
it's
it.
It's not attached.
Got it, got it.
So,
is there notes from the conference call? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Those are my notes from the conference call, yes. One of the ways that they define public is really a day visitor, not a hotel stay or not a rental, but it's like a day visitor's visit to the beach. How they have an access point, and the maximum is a quarter of a mile. So if you have an access point, it's a quarter of a mile this way and a quarter of a mile this way, and that determines the portion that they would be willing to pay for us is based on.
Can I just address that for a second?
Because
it's different than my understanding. This seems to be saying that every quarter mile you have to have an access. My understanding is it's every half a mile. Yeah.
So it's a quarter of a mile on either side of the access.
Right. It's a half a mile.
Yes.
Cool.
So it
so
is
it would
half
be a half a mile.
Quarter mile on either side. Yeah. The maximum rate that they would pay no matter what is 65%. That's what she told me. And she said that the cost is also, so it's determined by your access and it's determined by a parcel by parcel basis, which she said they look at the project as a whole and then they look at the individual parcels. How many are private? How many are undeveloped? How many are like a public park type of thing? And that also helps them decide the portion that they pay. Some of the steps she said for us to consider, the first one was, she said we need to find the records from 1988 to show who paid for what regarding the private lands, the very, very first nourishment. That of course there were funds by federal and by state and by Lee County and by CEPD. If we can show that the funds, not the federal funds, but the other funds, were used for the private nourishment, then that might change the whole way that they look at things for us. So she suggested
for the better or for the worse?
For the better.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Because evidently the easements have to do with if the federal government paid for the sand, the land that was put down, then they need to have an easement to be able to get on and off it.
Right.
But if that was paid with somebody else's money, then they may not need those easements. And the easements that we have are different than the easements that they require now. She says they always required the different easements that gave access in perpetuity, but they didn't realize it until Hurricane Sandy came around and they had some issues up north with that. So that's when everybody started relooking at everything.
Well, we have several people in the room today that were here in the 80s.
That's
I don't
right.
know, would you have any clue, Dave, how that was done?
No, not at all, but this okay. is very interesting.
It is.
And
it
this is.
Is
a kind of a revelation.
Yes.
Because we've never.
Right.
So this is, I think we need to get on this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hans, you were here in the 80s. Do you recall what she's talking about?
It's the first time the Corps has ever brought forth the distinction between placement on private lands and other funding sources. I think the Corps is probably trying to be responsive to the issues of easements being placed on upland property or perceived upland property. And so that's probably why you're starting to get that.
It became a huge issue around the Hamptons east on Long Island, and the Army Corps and the engineers and stuff over their heads in it. There are legal battles going back and forth, and I don't know how it's going to resolve itself.
Joe shared some information with us regarding New Jersey, where similarly there were some legal battles regarding.
Don't come on my property.
Now, all of this is from an oral conversation on that you've documented from your understanding of it, right? Okay. We need to get to a point where we actually have something in writing from them.
Right. Well, clear. I think what I'd like to do is you know, after we review this, probably just send it back to her and say, this is what I understand you talked about.
I think that's great, and it may go back and forth a few times before this grant. I get that. But the other thing is that it's my opinion that we need to reach out to our elected representatives, such as Congressman Rooney and maybe the people in the state, the Senate or whatever, to make sure that they're asking these people to be responsive to us. Not to say they're not responsive, but to make sure that we get the facts very clear. There are several people on Captiva who've been around for a number of years that are reaching out to me on a regular basis and keep insisting. One of them spent an hour on the phone with me, I think it was Friday or so, who wants to remain anonymous, but insisting that we not throw in the towel on the federal funding side of it. He indicated that he met with representatives of our senators and the governor in the past, and more recently he was up north. And he also said that, you know, he's making the argument, which I think is challenging, for the Army Corps to accept that public means if you rent a room at South Seas or you rent a room at a hotel or you go to a restaurant, and the restaurant, if it's outside of the resort, might make sense. But the point is, he's saying that's public. And I think that's the issue. They do not consider that to be public use. They consider that to be private use. You follow what I'm saying? If somebody is renting from you, Bob, and you're going to the beach, that's not considered necessarily to be the public by the definition of the Army Corps of Engineers.
Correct.
Now, one thing she did say is, I mentioned to her that, you know, we still, everything's the same. We still have the two main parking areas on either end of the island. But that I know there is a private property between waters. If I wanted to bring over a carload of people, I could rent their parking space and their facilities for the day for $50.
But there are, by the way, also several public accesses, such as Andy Rossi Lane, Whiteman Lane, Leica Lane.
They don't really look at those unless there's parking
attached
to them.
But I mean, Leica Lane is within a quarter of a mile of the parking at Hagerup, so they
so you think that would extend it a quarter?
Well, I met with Jackie Kaiser when she was the representative for Florida, and she went through a lot of this for me, and she basically felt that they used to make sure that there were no signs on the street that said no public. Apparently, there were people on the homeowners association that would sometimes put up a sign, which is illegal, because apparently, originally, when this beach was nourished, the county looked to buy land across the way and build a parking area. And some people opposed it, so then I think the deal was cut, at least what I was told by Allison Hagerup and others, that as long as they let them walk down that street, or even drive, but they can't park on that street, but they can access that street. So if they can find parking somewhere nearby, and there is at least the Hagerup Lodge, which is pretty close by. So anyway, I'm just saying that she was counting it back in the 2008 time frame.
Right.
But you know, the Army has changed an awful lot since they came to our meeting and told us that they're not going to renew our contract.
Right.
And they said, well, we're not killing the contract. We're going to rescind the order that gave you the contract.
Right.
They've changed a lot since then.
Yeah, she actually did tell me that they the project is authorized. The funding is not.
Yes. And we need to, and we may not get that authorized this year, but we may be able to get it authorized for the 2020-21 time frame.
Right.
Now, I will also say that one of these individuals who talks to me about it regularly keeps reminding me that the administration has changed and that the Obama administration may have had a different point of view than the Trump administration. I have no opinion on that. I'm just sharing what he said to me, so we have to find out. All right, so
she said that as the time has gone on there, they found different ways to look at different things. Who put the sand on the private and that kind of thing.
I have to say that when Jackie Kaiser, and she's no longer responsible for Florida, I believe.
She's not responsible for our area. I think she still has portions of Florida, but she's moved up.
Okay, well, I wanted to just say, and maybe you should reach out to her and see if she can give you some help, but when she first arrived here, she reached out to me as the chairman and we spoke, and she was eminently helpful. and she sat down with us, and she was always trying to find ways to say, how can we look at this to get you a bigger share? And
we thought she was very helpful.
She was, and we thought we were very successful in coming up with, we thought we were going to get a $7 million share. But in any event, I'm just saying it's worth pursuing it so we can say we've exhausted all avenues before we decide to turn down the money. And then once we find out what we might be eligible to get in these conversations, we then have to do the cost-benefit analysis, which says, is there an added cost to them doing the project, and how does that compare to the benefits that we would get?
And she did mention to me that, that while they know they're very expensive, that if they're very busy at that particular time, it actually brings the costs down because mobilizations are already out there and, you know, that kind of thing is already done, so you don't have to pay for that. They split it among all
the
different.
So it's time dependent, basically.
You say, although that young lady, Kaiser, my namesake.
No relation.
Which is no relation, but to call out to her every once in a while may be a good thing, but yeah. She used to love this little district there.
Well, and I do know that that Laurel and Jackie have spoken because she said that, you know, she knows that Jackie really went to bat for us and that she tried to find every little way that she could to make things work and it just didn't. But that since then they have found different nuances that may help us.
Well, good work. I think we need to settle that and continue to pursue it and make sure that we can.
And we still may be better off going on our own.
We might. We don't. Yeah, we don't know.
We really don't know.
So do you have in mind when we would have to know the answer to whether this is going to be worth it to us?
Well,
in reference to the project.
Right, and I asked her about lead time, and she said that, you know, if we have to talk to Aptum, if we still have the permits and the environmental permits and if they need to be updated, the plans and the specs and the procurement can take about 6 months, and depending on what we need and if we have the permits and the, that kind of thing, it really should be 6 months.
Well, that's our advantage of starting early.
Yes.
And the other question I had was, you said you need to find out questions from the 19, or answers to questions in 1988. Are you envisioning that you're going to be able to find that?
I sure hope so. I'm going to turn over every stone. I know where a lot of the documents are. We actually have the bond information, and there's a lot of it that they already brought over. But yeah, we have to go to the.
Actually, this is a good point there. But I've reached out recently again to Alan Tedbrook, who was one of the who ran South Seas back at the time, or was one of the principal owners or whatever, and he had a lot to do with it, to get see what ideas he had and what he remembered. So he doesn't sound like he's remembering much, but he's going to get back to me. But I did speak to Steve Cutler a number of times, and Steve was a former chairman that is a friend of mine, but also that Dr. Strong has spoken highly of. And among the things I'm going to ask him more about that. He might be able to point me to some documents. I also got material when people left the island. So, for example, Mike Cohen and others, I've been going through some of that material, and I might have letters from the early 80s from Lloyd Wright, for example, who was on the board at one point, and some others.
What about Doris Bowman and people like that?
I haven't seen it, but I'll look. I'm continuing to go through these papers. But the other thing I was going to say is that in my conversations with Cutler, I'll ask him about that if he knows about it. I don't remember when he got started. He might have come after the 88 time frame. But he did also say to me that it was his understanding that the methodology is driven by the Corps. And he thought that you had to follow their methodology of benefits-based apportionment. I'm not sure he's correct.
So what she told me, because I asked her that, we can use the ad valorem. We would still have to have the survey done that shows the benefits for the storm protection and still have to have all the information that we have.
Let me drill down on that for a second, because I know we can use ad valorem because that's in our enabling legislation. The question is, can we use ad valorem and still be eligible for federal funding?
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense to me, because Cutler was suggesting that you had to follow the benefits methodology. Benefits-based
We have to have the benefits methodology in place to prove and to support.
Yeah, but he was saying you also need to have it to qualify.
Not according to law.
Okay, great. So we need to make sure of that. Anything else on federal funding issues? So we're going to try to nail this into a timeline.
Yeah, what's the follow-up? What is the next conversation you're going to have, or is there a follow-up?
Well, what I would like to do is I'm going to send this these notes to her and, you know, make sure she's in agreement and, you know, tweak whatever I got wrong, and then call Affin and, you know, see what we can do about finding all the documentation and moving forward.
In addition to that, I would reach out to Affin and ask them to suggest to us what they can do to facilitate trying to get the Corps' support. Because I know their opinion has been it's not going to be worth it, from the that the benefits will not outweigh the cost.
But they may not have this information either.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
No, I agree.
She did say that she would like to give us a little time to get our ducks in the row with all of this,
yeah,
and would be willing to come to our June 10th meeting if you'd like her here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we're going to be ready? I would like her here.
Okay. Well, and we can invite her.
No, that's fine. No, that's fine.
Okay.
Then go ahead and do that. So, any other questions from any of the commissioners?
Or just a comment. You know, Affin, which is the follow-up to coastal planning or whatever. Right.
Coastal planning.
They may have records of what you're looking for because they did the project.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what she mentioned, and I think that's a good idea to get help from them on that. Okay. Old business. Item FB, tentative apportionment adjustment update. Now, this is where I'm not sure anybody wants to suggest anything else, but I wanted to ask the board to have somebody make a motion that we target a time frame in the fall to accept the revised tentative apportionment and then send mailings to the property owners and hold a public hearing. And it sounds like we could be targeting, did you say you like the idea of December, Bob, or January?
I just think it needs to be when the majority of individuals are here. That
are back, yeah. Anybody have any thoughts on when is the busy, is January?
I would say after Thanksgiving from my experience.
Right after Thanksgiving?
After Thanksgiving.
After that, yeah, because I find that a couple of weeks in the early part of December are not very busy, but that doesn't mean residents won't be back.
All right.
I mean, if January, I think more time to resolve this, and if January isn't too late, I'd vote for January.
Subject to your conversation with Affin to make sure that we're not slipping any major deadlines, because I don't know whether I don't think that we are, because they're not going to be ready to do work until late 2020, but they're going to be doing, I guess they're getting their permits and they're doing their design and anything else that they have to do. I don't know what the various steps are, but I would check with them and make sure that we're not delaying them on anything.
Okay.
The other thing is that we have approval from the voters to borrow the money,
mm-hmm,
but we do have to go out and get into our time frame, our timeline, when we're going to actually start talking to the lending institutions to find out when we can get that money,
mm-hmm,
and when are we going to need it.
Well,
so I think
the rates are still pretty low.
Yeah, and I think we need Affin, you know, to work with us on when they think they're going to need money, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're paying them from time to time out of reserves now.
Right.
But I think we need to make sure that we sit down and that timeline before June would be a good time for us to finalize, mm-hmm, our timeline.
Okay. Now, do we need to? I know we want to have a tentative apportionment approved, but we don't need to have it done before we go out and get the funds and before.
I don't know.
After.
I don't think we do. I mean, right now we have a referendum approved. The money is available.
Mm-hmm.
As I read the enabling legislation, you can check with Nancy on that, but I don't think it needs to be I just don't want to delay the public hearing later than necessary. Maybe that we could do it, you know, in midsummer next year, whatever. And that might not impact the enabling legislation. But I do think that relative to what the size of the project is going to be, if there's any changes in anything, the more we know about that, the better. So, and I think, frankly, the public are looking for feedback. And knowing that it's a tentative,
mm-hmm,
apportionment, we could go with it. It's not final. You know, I'd kind of like to just put it to bed in a reasonable time frame and everybody, mm-hmm, have access to ask their questions and come to a public hearing. Okay.
Because we have a lot of time, but you know, now the time to just what you're saying.
Yeah,
make good
because other things
plans to
busy.
Use it.
Yes,
properly.
Absolutely. So I would like to see if somebody wants to make a motion that we schedule completion of the tentative apportionment by January of next year and hold a public hearing at a time frame in that month of January of 2020.
I'll make that motion.
Can you repeat? Can you, what is that motion, Harry? Can you articulate that, please?
I'll do it.
Okay.
Yeah, that we complete or that we accept a tentative apportionment from the economist revised per whatever changes we make by January of 2020.
Right.
And then upon doing that, we do a mailing to the Captiva property owners and notice a public hearing, and we hold a public hearing in January of 2020.
Mm-hmm. So wouldn't we need to have it done by December in order to have to get it out and have a public hearing by January? That's a question.
No, we need to do at least 10 days. We could do that.
I'm okay with January. Yeah.
You could do the January, and then we could have the meeting at the end of January.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me rephrase it, and you might want to take back the motion. That we basically accept the tentative apportionment in sufficient time to be able to schedule a January referendum. Not January referendum, but January public hearing. So that gives her as much time as
well,
she needs.
Why does the meeting have to be like immediately after?
It doesn't.
Does.
That's what I'm saying. Is if we accept the apportionment in December, we could still have the meeting in January.
Well, can we have the apportionment approved by us by January, then schedule a meeting after that?
Let me rephrase what I said was the motion, and then we'll see if that's acceptable.
What you said in the beginning was fine, because that was opinion.
And I was doing it all in 1 month. I'm saying it doesn't have to be. That the board accept the tentative apportionment in sufficient time to be able to schedule a public hearing in the January time frame.
January 2020 time frame.
2020 time frame. So once she reaches out to the other organizations, find out what other meetings are being held and so on, she might come back and say, let's do it on February 3rd.
Or okay.
You know, we have flexibility in the... So you're making that motion?
Yes.
Okay. So, I'll second it. Any further discussion on the matter?
So January 13th is our meeting next January. Mm-hmm. We'd approve it no later than then.
No later than
that.
No later than 10 days before we're going to hold the meeting. Or 20 days, however long she needs to do the mailing.
Well, then that's getting to Dave's point, you know.
And if you approve it ahead of time, but you still want to have the meeting in January, you can certainly do that.
I understand. I just don't know if January 13th, that meeting, is going to be sufficient to have end of January public hearing.
The motion doesn't say when you have to do the acceptance of the tentative apportionment. It just has to be done in sufficient time prior to the public hearing. It could be December you accept it. Follow what I'm saying?
I thought your motion was calling for the meeting to be in January.
That's all it's calling for. It's not saying when. But you have to. We already have called it before and canceled it because we couldn't get the work done in time.
Okay.
Right. So if we have a chance to approve all of this stuff in December, the board will accept the results and approve it. We'll still hold the January meeting.
Even if you didn't do it until the January meeting on January 13th, give us a couple of days to get the letter together. That's the 15th. Mm-hmm. 10 days from there is the 25th. We could, you're by the end of the month.
Yeah, we're
drilling
down a little more than we need to based on the motion. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay. New business, monday.com.
So we are looking at a project management software, and Joe has experience with this project. This program is called monday.com. It would be our timeline, the plan that we all want, and we all want to have the dates and everything on, and then from that, we can extract the weekly status reports also. This program allows five users. So there would be the two of us, Hans, and then we can have one for the board, and we could have one for the chair, and then one for the board if you wanted to, a generic one, but we could all have access to the same program.
And if you wanted more than five, you'd just pay additional license, right? So,
What are we currently using to manage projects and timelines and such?
Pencil one.
We have a tentative one set up in Excel.
Okay, so
it doesn't really project.
It's not robust.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're trying to get away from having documents lying all over the place. We just have one place to look at.
And you feel you're comfortable with Monday.com?
Yes.
Is it reasonably priced? I'm just curious.
$450 a year?
Yeah.
I think it was. $450 a year.
For the five licenses?
Yeah, $399.
Yeah.
Of course, it goes up from there.
Yeah.
So you don't need a motion on that. That can be okay.
Yeah, go. Yeah.
I am concerned. I am concerned when you're able to come back and tell us when the timeline will be created and when we'll be converted to Monday.com, because I want to be able to see that at every meeting.
Well, let's discuss that. So we just, you don't need a motion or anything. Buy it, right?
Right.
So how much time do you need to input the information in there? So we're looking.
So the answer to that depends a lot on how much we're pulled away to do Excel assessments.
Well, right now I have the parking lot project in there as an example. So every project on
in where? In Monday.com? In
Monday.com.
You have your own version?
Yes.
Okay.
And then there's just a lot of projects going on, so we just get one after another. I'm taking these different Excel spreadsheets and putting it up there while I'm trying to learn everything that's happening. So it's getting faster.
It would slow
down. Goal?
Yes.
My goal would be our next meeting. I think we can do our next meeting.
What project are you talking about? Is it the nourishment project, the plan? Mm-hmm.
I am, yeah. I'm talking about the nourishment.
I took a look at it, and I could probably get that in the next couple of weeks.
So I would say by our next board meeting.
Before you commit to that, right?
Okay.
What I would be primarily interested in seeing is we have annual deadlines for trim and a bunch of other things, but they all get in there, the repetitive annual things that go on every year. The factors that we just talked about relative to settling the tentative apportionment and the public hearing that kind of closes the follow-up to the referendum. You have these other little projects, the parking lot and website design, whatever it may be, that won't have been completed before you finish this. So if you have adequate time to do all of that, the other elements of the project, which I think are important, the Aptum data and so on, in my view, they're watching that, they're doing those things, that can be done as a phase two. So if by the next meeting you have all these other things and you don't have added the Aptum data, I'm okay with it. If you add the Aptum data, that's great.
So I was going to ask the question, but maybe I heard you ask it another way.
Yeah.
If you got a lot of projects going on, let's just make sure that the board's priority is the same, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're putting a lot of time and effort into this, but if we're looking for the time frame, the critical path for the project, the nourishment, and that's high priority with all of us, then we just need to shift resources.
I guess I've been putting a lot of time on the spreadsheet and getting that straight now. Mike and I have been going back and forth a lot to make sure that.
This is a good time to comment that, I had expressed a hesitancy about bringing Joe on board simply because I thought he was way overqualified for the job. And my fear was that since he was just moving to the area, he'd find out what his real worth is. But because we insisted on making it a deputy level position, it pays a little bit better. I know what his skills are. I know what, that's worth in the marketplace. He's assured us that he's committed and he likes what he's doing and he's going to continue to do it, and God willing, that comes forth. But since he's come on board with the skills that he does have and working with him, I'm very happy with it. No, I'm very happy that he gets it, that he's helpful on the project planning, he's helpful on the spreadsheet. He's also somewhat cautious to not overstressing himself, so he will bring it up. And I keep telling him every time I ask for something, realize that, it's up to you to come back and tell me you can do it or not
right.
do it. So I'm pleased that that decision went the way it did and that Joe's coming along fine. And I appreciate that. So. And he's responsible.
Well, that goes for the rest of us, Commissioner, at least for me. That I can say.
The second item is to have one place where all we can all access our documents without emailing documents back and forth and everyone having a different copy. I would send you a link and then you just go to one place and be able to access it there. That's also going to be our next storage area, next cloud.
So we're in the 21st century is what you're saying.
Well, sorry. Yeah.
So Monday's
does everybody understand what he just said?
We'll have links in our project management software that sends us over to the next cloud to see the document. Uh-huh. So we no more email. Email to communicate, but not to push things around.
So you got that material from my son-in-law regarding our logo?
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much.
That's exactly what I needed. Thank you.
Was that okay?
Yeah, and we're going to use that for the new website. And NextCloud will cost us $300 a year.
Okay. Relative to that point of having something in the clouds in a common area that we can all access and not be bouncing the stuff back and forth and so on, there are capabilities of saying who's able to just share it for reading purposes, who's able to share it for, you know, so if some of that data is data that's necessary for the public, for example, the press or whatever it may be, you could just send them a reference and they can read it, but not change it. Some board members maybe don't want to have access to change it, and some want to be able to do it in a collaborative way, is the term that they usually use,
yes.
Right?
So when we get that more set up, everyone will have their own account, and I can set things up to be more specific.
Right, right.
Yeah, no, I don't want changes to go through unless...
No, he's got that covered. It's got a capability of allowing a separate change.
I can sit out there and change some things.
No.
Well, we wouldn't know what the hell went on.
If a change needs to be made to a document, it'd be a board motion to do so. Then we would get that information, then we'll make the changes on our own.
But like, for example, putting up minutes, the example we talked about earlier, each commissioner might have some adjustments or whatever it may be. You should be able to create a copy that allows their changes and then incorporate them.
I can track everyone's...
Exactly,
On the same document.
Right.
So, I mean, Word already has that capability.
But you should control that stuff. I've got one thing to say, too,
since we're in this love fest. It's very helpful for me that when information does come out to us to digest, that instead of it being more of a journalist approach, that it's more an administrative approach on here's what we found out, here's why we found out, and here's what we think of it. I mean, that really helps me. I don't know about anyone else on the board or everybody staring at me.
Describe how it comes out now.
We just get information now. I'd really like to,
like
from
an
administrative side, and Hans, that's appropriate, right?
Yeah, what you're referring to is what Lee County Company calls a blue sheet. Basically, it's a blue sheet. It's a one-page summary, a quick summary of what that issue is about, so that you can look at it. And then if you want to dig into it in more depth, go to the actual documents.
Perfect.
That's something that, and the reason why I call it blue sheets, because it's blue colored and stands out for the commissioners. I see no reason why.
And beyond one page, you've lost me.
What that's sometimes called is an executive summary. And
right.
I think that the way it's typically done with the internet now is you can highlight or bolden an element. There's a backup document, and then if you choose to see the backup document, you click on it, and it'll take you to the backup document. You follow what I'm talking
link,
about.
Yeah.
So which allows you to drill down as far as you want or stay at a high level. Absolutely.
Perfect.
I do have a question about commissioners, view on minutes and how we may be able to suggest the changes or edits. Do we have access to the audio? Will we have access to the audio?
Yes, that will be up there as well. We discussed that this morning.
Okay, because sometimes I read and I'm like, I can't believe I said so bad, but I probably did.
No, it was my apology. I went over it myself.
No, that's okay.
The last one was set.
Believe me, that was one. There's a lot of times, sometimes I voted on stuff and I didn't realize I voted on it.
Clean it up. And then have it so we can...
No, he doesn't clean it up. It's just recorded. Recorded and available.
Keep in mind.
Like all 3 hours will be accessible.
Now, John used to use Dropbox to send that. You're saying that's going to go in this cloud, next cloud as well, right? Okay.
Perfect.
Okay, administrator's report. FEMA DAC funds.
Sorry, yes. I had a conversation with our representative from FEMA. They are at the point now where they are talking about just the administrative funds, so just the administrative costs, which for us is $56,492. It's being released from the federal down to the state, and once the state reviews everything, they'll send us a check.
Any rough idea of when that might occur?
No.
So every conversation, this is about the, I guess, IRMA money, is that correct? Okay. And is there a copy of every either conversation or email you have with representative of FEMA, dated?
Have them in my email boxes. I mean, I keep everything in my email. Also, everything we do in their system is tracked. Like, they have a little note. They have someone that calls me from Ernest & Young, and it says, Kyle contacted Carolyn to discuss blah, blah, blah.
Will we have access... on Monday or Nextcloud. For instance, here's a significant amount of money, so we can review the history of the communication between you or us and FEMA to make sure that.
We could do that.
I'm not saying we have to. I'm just.
Can I make a suggestion? I don't know if you guys use Gmail or not still, but there's something called labels or folders, but where basically things can be organized for FEMA, for example, where all of the email threads would be in it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So you've got these labels that you can put on things.
Well, you know what I don't like about that? What I found out, you can't search if you forgot.
Yeah, you can.
I don't.
Let him finish.
You have to put in an archive.
What are you saying you can't do? Because I'm not fond. Can't sort it?
Is that let's you say you're looking for something. It won't look in these folders.
Yeah, well, Gmail? Mm. Yeah. Google? Just search your entire.
I remember I had.
If you do all mail, if you go in through all mail.
Archive. If you do archive.
It'll actually show you where it is.
If you put in an archive.
And
yeah.
Then you can restore it to your inbox or do whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, but Gmail has a category called all mail, which is archives and everything that's ever come in should be able to be found.
No, search. No, yes, that, but I was referring to what Bob said before. But at any rate,
I'm just making a suggestion on how to organize so that you could go in and say, let me see the file for whatever.
And, you know, Carolyn, did you want to talk about the meeting we had?
So that was the meeting Dave came over because he's still listed on their paperwork as the chairman. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to push that through right ahead of time. We will get that changed. But every change they make sets you back.
That's all right. That's right.
And the reason I mentioned it, Michael, I mean, it was pretty clear to me this money, it's good to go, and now it's shifted to the state. The state is now, it's like the next level.
What do they look for, their piece of it or something?
I don't think so. I think it's just that the federal doesn't want to, you know, just be responsible for distributing all the funds, and so they break it down to
how much is it again?
$56,492.
Well, it's also the money for. It was also about the money for actually to go towards the next project.
That's from the same place. That's the FEMA and the IRMA funds, but that we've put on hold. We asked for an extension so that we could use that money towards the renourishment.
Right.
That's another $800,000, I believe.
Right. Well, that's the big coin.
Right. Yeah. So why are we extending that again? So that we have it for the next project?
Yes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd have had to say, well, we didn't do anything.
I got it.
And they'd say, okay, then you don't get the money.
Right.
So do we have imminent plans to spend $800,000 in designing, permitting, or any? I'm serious, prior to actual construction?
I don't know how much it's going
to
cost.
I know, but I would talk to Abtom just to find out. Yeah. Not that I want to spend that $800,000, but I want to make sure that we don't let it linger out there.
Right.
Yeah, because we're going to have to spend the money in.
Exactly.
Right. And right now it's approved to hang out there until September of 21.
Yeah. Oh. September?
Yeah, September of
21. Well, can we pay our engineering bills?
Yeah. You could pay from that. You could prepay some bills from that.
I have to look. Yeah, I'll have
by then,
to look at
absolutely.
It.
Well,
that's great.
But isn't there a time frame that once you start taking that money, you got to have it used?
I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but remember there is a time frame.
And during that meeting, I asked, what if stuff happens in this deadline where it makes sense, as long as we give them plenty of warning, they can extend that.
I just want to roll back for a second with a comment or a question to Joe on Nextcloud. I find that when people put things up in the cloud, you really have to design your folders within the cloud right up front.
Hans and I are working on that.
Okay, yeah, because that's pretty complicated to make sure. Because otherwise you start shoving things up there. Not you, but one tends to shove things up there. And then later on you try to go back and reorganize. I want to put it up there in the right place up front. You know. But we also need to know as commissioners where to go to look for stuff. So
we're trying to make it as easy as possible. The current system has 500 to 1,000 folders with 6,000 documents.
Oh, my God.
Wow. So
I mean, geez.
It's a project. So I'm going to try to work on it as fast as possible.
Okay.
Oh. A week should be good then.
Make it simple.
Concentrating on the most recent stuff and forget what's the last 60 years.
Well, maybe at another briefing meeting or whatever, we could talk about ideas about it. I mean, because to me, it's multi-layered is the way you do it. And you have, you know, so many, maybe the top 10 categories, and within each of them a number and so on. And it requires a level of thinking.
just as an aside, eventually we'd like to have it set up so that when a question comes up, for example, like the 1988 project, that you'll be able to go into historical. That folder and all that history will be there of everything that occurred with that project. That'll take some time to get us there.
Yeah, but that'd be great.
We had one administrator. Kathy was here for quite a while. How was her? How did she?
Let me comment that I have been after what I call a paperless office since I got involved. I had them scanning documents and so on. Kathy was never terribly favorable towards it, but more importantly, chairman subsequently, like Boyle, was not particularly interested in the internet or the clouds or anything in the future. So it kind of regressed. But the truth is that the goal should be paperless office so that if we get the office gets knocked out by a hurricane, mm-hmm. we can just set up shop wherever we've got a hook up to the internet. And I'm happy to hear that everybody thinks that's a worthy goal, because that's what we should be doing.
Next cloud, we'll have three copies. One will be in California, where we work off of, one in Fort Myers, and then one in our office. And I hate to use the word copy, it's like a real-time copy. So.
I understand, but, okay. Again, very important that we be able to access this information, that the public be able to access information, only the appropriate people are collaborating on changing it, et cetera, and you understand the problem, so.
I still go back to the one question, though. Who's ever in the office, meaning you, should be the one controlling what goes up and really what comes out.
I would say the process needs to be designed so that the process is controlling.
That's not easy.
Right. And the process decides who gets access.
You don't want me going in there and...
He gets it. He gets it. So.
Oh, yeah.
The process has to be designed with controls built mm-hmm. into it so that we can't have errant destruction of documents and so on. So.
Right.
Does the county have a, Steve, sort of a cloud approach and organization of things like that, or are you still...
No, we're all server-based, but it's backed up daily.
Okay. And about the organization of it and so on, are you still somewhat paper-intensive? Okay. Drop the question.
There's a lot more that's going digital, but in terms of standard protocols for how it's organized,
mm-hmm. not there. Okay. Well, you can create something that's called archives and take everything that's there today that's in no organization or whatever and start that in the archives, but all the new data, for the very least, let's have a good system to figure out where it goes. Go ahead.
But we're at a big advantage right now. Maybe you're starting fresh.
Yes.
So we can put it only in there what we want. And
unless you count the 40 years worth of prior history.
Yeah.
What Joe would beg to differ.
Sorry, Hans has a question.
One of the things that we're trying to implement is sort of this intuitive who, what, and when on the subject line, whether that's an email, whether it's a stored letter or something like that, so that you can find it.
Yes, absolutely.
Not, you know, how many documents you receive from an attorney that's got a scan number? Right. Doesn't tell you anything about what it is.
Right.
And so we're trying to get away from that because we have to think about, we have multiple users currently. Uh-huh. We're going to have new users in the future. And we have a lot of data going back 60 years that we're going to try to recover so that it's accessible so you can sort of think in that way.
But you don't want to lose any of that old information because that's most important. It's not to know where it is. Not that it's up there in a closet.
Having a system whereby you control the threat identification and that you can track things, you know, some allow you to search anywhere in the letter. It's a slower search. By a long shot, it's a slower search, but it's getting faster and faster. But, you know, but being able to have an organized subject matter concept is helpful.
Maybe it'd be appropriate by next meeting for me to give a 5 to 10 minute demonstration.
That'd be a great idea.
That would be great.
Show you what we have so far.
Yes. Okay, next item is 8B John Deere issues. Do we still have John Deere issues?
We do. I just wanted to let you all know that the sheriff's office let us know that they have been receiving complaints about the John Deere being used to go from our office on the road down to Allison Hagra. So we are going to refrain from doing that, and it will only be so.
So you'll still have to go down the Andy Ross.
What is the problem?
Since I have experience with
sure,
this?
Sure, you start.
So I have my own Polaris.
Yes.
I went outside the gates one day, and Mike or I can't remember if it was Chris, Lee County Sheriff's Office, pulled me over, and then it was like, oh, it's you, Bob.
Joe got both of them.
So yeah. from what I've gathered from all of them is, one, it is not a legal on-road vehicle. Two, more importantly, is there are two or three residents that have Polaris's and want to drive them on the road, of which they've enforced that law. So they're enforcing it for everyone, like they should.
Okay.
So we've been, ours have been confined to the property of South Seas.
So how do we get the vehicle from the office? Hold on, from the office to the beach.
To the beach.
We'll stake it down, and then
over on the beach.
So you could still do that to go to the park.
And you will still get calls.
Okay.
Yes.
But they're okay with us doing that.
Okay.
Because it's illegal for you to
Hans had a question.
On road.
Yeah.
They light up the Lee County Sheriff's Hall. Whoever those five or six
I would hope that the residents of Captiva would have even the smallest bit of as much forbearance as we have in the issues that are being brought before this group to realize that we're trying to get a job done and understand. That's all I would have to say.
The vehicle is old name.
I know, but I'm saying,
Chairman,
I think
we
they
took
need
the South Seas vehicle down the beach during the fish cleanup.
I know you did.
And other things.
I know.
And the sheriff's phone got lit up.
And the sheriff lit up my phone, too, Bob. You just didn't get the next level of calls. So.
Wow.
All right, so we think we have that managed, is what you're saying.
Yes,
okay.
Just wanted you to be aware.
Now, account and RFP, you've mentioned to me that you'd like to go out and get an alternative accountant.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. So we want to put together an RFP for a new accountant, see what's out there and what's available.
Okay.
Yeah, I was part of that conversation. I think it's time.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So, you're looking for permission on that, or are you just advising? Yeah, go right ahead.
Right.
Nobody objects. All right. Office keys.
Yes. Yeah, so, one of the days when I was downtown at a meeting, and Joe was out on the beach looking at something, and so the office was locked, and one of the commissioners had tried to get in to meet with us, but we weren't there. And had requested a key to the office. So we had the keys made, and we have one for each of you, if you would like it. My only concern is that, as the keeper of the records, I want to make sure that, I trust you all. I know you're not going to go in there and vandalize anything, but it is my responsibility as the keeper of the records.
But we I can see where the president may want a key. But I believe
have an alternative idea. On some of my rental properties, what we've done is we basically use an internet-based an internet-based lock, which allows you to
see who accessed.
I think it's called Wink, but basically the lock can be opened and unlocked from the internet. All you need is a distance from a hub, which you probably would be fine.
Uh-huh.
I can get you the information. Joe Angelo, by the way, who knows that for me. But basically, I can see when doors open. Even to my house, I see when a door is opened and closed, and that's the future.
Nest does that now. Don't they even have locks?
Ring does.
Yeah, Ring. There's several of them. But this particular one that we chose to use for whatever reason, we went through several, is called Wink. But what it means is you'll know exactly who is opening it and who is closing it.
That's great.
Yeah. And so then basically that satisfies your protective, et cetera, et cetera.
And it gives you guys access if you want to.
Yeah. Are we done on the office keys then?
Yes.
Okay. Commissioner comments. Chief Dave?
Okay. Could we get a cleaner or something for when we have consultants using that screen?
We have one.
Okay, we could bring it to the room. And the year has a few months left in it, but I'd like to plan the 60th anniversary party, because this is one cool organization, and I think we need to have a party.
And since Commissioner Lanigan has a new house.
No.
Chances
is
I'm joking.
But
I would agree.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting right now how we do it or anything, but our community has been great with us and working together and I think we all have a reason to celebrate.
Well, but you want to do what most of the people
are. Yes, I didn't say.
Well, the anniversary is in June of this year, right?
Right.
So most people will not be here in June of this year.
But it'll be the 60th year.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. No, I think
so
that,
we could
you know,
do it after the first or whatever.
I think you can order some hats or T-shirts, or you can order little, you know, trophies or whatever. But seriously, I would shoot for the fall, right after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
But you know, you decide that. But yeah. I would coordinate with, find out what other entities like the CCA and so on are doing, so we don't create conflicting time frames. Right. But I'm all for it. I think it's a great idea.
So am I.
Thank you. That's it.
Okay.
The only thing is something that came up in emails. Regarding me, believe it or not. It sounds like they didn't realize that I am an owner of a home, which I am, right on the strip. I am right next to the golfway, and I don't think I can tell people. I've been there since 1980. I've owned my house. And this all came up, I imagine, because of something to do with that I can vote on this committee. And I only wish the gentleman, whoever brought it up, he sent an email in, and it kind of sort of, it's because Dr. Strong, he mentioned how I knew about the golfways, at least the one next to my house. It's been next to my house since I bought it in 1980. And he was shocked that I could, I guess, be on the committee. But he didn't give my name. I don't have any secrets. It sounded like a secret. It's not in any way. In fact, with this the golfway, which I wish that somebody was here. That's, to me, the access has always been very special. Because in the beginning, there were names like, you don't even know now, like Eldridge and Doris Bowen and DeWitt Jones, Redman and Carters. These people used to walk down the access, and they got to be like family to me because of used to stop and talk, and you knew what went on with all those families that had access to the Gulf. And now there are new people, and one of the new people, I still don't understand, I don't know him, Dupre, but he bought the Eldridge house. He is part of the access. And other than that, and then there's the new ones are the Jeffersons. But these people I've known for years and years, and they are changing over because everybody's getting older, and the new people coming in don't realize that this access has been here before my time. And even some of the people who were on the CEPD, they always thought that their access, we should somehow charge them. And here they were. You remember Doris Bowen? I mean, she was one of the ones who said she was, you know, we should do something. But the committee here, and this includes me too, never could come up with a solution because there's no, what's the word, no assessment from the county doing it. And it wasn't, and this used to just be a small little access that very few people use. Now all of a sudden these homes are rented, and yes, they are used more than they were before. But the principle still is the same as it always has been. So I don't know where, over the past years, we have always come to the same conclusion. And the answer has always been that there's not just one of them. Every five houses, just saying, has an access from the bayside to the Gulf side. A lot of them you don't see, they're all covered up with brushes and stuff like that. This one is kept open. It never used to be, but it is now. So if you, there are accesses all along Captiva Drive for the people on the Gulf Bayside to walk over to the Gulf side. So with this in mind, things haven't changed. The CEPD, I think that we think that they somehow should be charged, because the people that were, as I said, who were members of the walkway, and were members of or commissioners, I should say, of CEPD, it was always going down. And we did the same thing last time, and this time there's been no decision made as yet. But I only wish the gentleman was here, because me being known to these people, and also knowing all the past that came with it, is not going to defer my decision one way or another. If I think something is right, even if it hurts me, I'm going to say yay, or I'm going to say no. So with that, that's all I have. Unless somebody else has other questions.
When it's my turn, I might add something to that. But Bob, do you have
anything? I have nothing, thank you.
Mike?
I have a question.
Yes.
Harry, you mentioned that every five houses has a beach access.
Yes, people don't realize that, but about, because they're homes that are on, and a lot of these, like, it's in my deed. It's in the people's deeds from the county.
Okay.
When you buy a house,
yes,
whether you have access to the Gulf. One of these homes over there, they found out before it closed, and this was the latest one that was sold to the Jeffersons, their access went through somebody else's yard, and they didn't like it. So what they had, the seller had to go back out, knock on doors, and find out who would sell them an access. And that access for one house before he could sell it and put it in the deed that he has access from the bay to the Gulf cost $250,000. That was on, that was, I think it was last year. That was new to me.
Well, I just have, I don't know that. So my question,
if you want to.
I'm going to have to exert chairman's prerogative that comments are supposed to be primarily focused as you make your comments, and then you should make yours.
Okay.
And we don't want to get into a dialogue and open the whole meeting up again. So if you have some general comments, I'll try to answer what I can in mind, but I don't want to go dialoguing.
Okay. Yeah. My only comment, Harry took me, brought me to a different path here. I would, my comment was about the location of the sand that we're going to use for this renourishment. There was an email some time ago that, you know, the sand we've been using over the last nourishment or two has not been as attractive as. Do we have any flexibility? Do we have it in our budget to search for other sand? Is that even a possibility?
Our borough site is 8 miles off the coast.
Okay.
And borough sites have to be deeded.
Okay, yeah. We're doing a dialogue.
Okay,
we
never, that's my comment.
Okay. Let me make my comment now. One is that I received a call from somebody who owns the Gulfway, who owns a share in the Gulfway access, and they discussed with me very congenially and just looking for information and had no opinion on the subject. They wanted to understand the process because somebody else had sent an email out objecting to the degree of the assessment. I spent a good hour on the phone with Bill Riley. He was very gentlemanly about the whole thing, and I told him that it's premature for people to be overreacting. Same comment I made here earlier today, that we will find out more later on. The objection that people have is to the approach that Bill Strong is taking, and we think that we will refine that approach as we go forward. It's one of the few accesses on the Gulf Coast. There are maybe two that are not built into easements on other people's property. So when it was referred to that there are maybe accesses every five homes. That's probably not the case, but there are easement arrangements that have been made. And when I've talked to the property appraiser about that, he says it's not his business. What's done between private property owners is up to them. So some people, I bought a property once that had once had an easement, but it expired when the people sold the property, so the easement went away. All kinds of complications. We don't get involved in private property easements either. But in the particular case of the Gulfway that's adjacent to Harry's property, it's a 40-foot wide piece of land, and it runs the length of the road to the, you know, out to the beach. Mm-hmm. And a lot of corporation owns it, a not-for-profit corporation owns it, and it's sold shares to people on the other side. And we definitely want to find a way to assess it, and I'm going to recommend to the board next time around, maybe the staff can find a private property appraiser to give us an assessment on what its value is. We'll have to talk about that, what that would cost, and so on. Some people who've never seen an assessment before are suddenly seeing these early tentative assessments and reacting again, not understanding our process and not knowing that this is an early stage and subject to much revision. So, and on the quality of sand, I'm frequently walking daily. At least twice a day, I cross the bridge in each direction to go into the Santiva area where my wife and I walk around for, you know, 3 miles or so. I bump into more Captiva people over there than Sanibel many times, and each of them has a question about sand and so on. So just yesterday, somebody had asked me, I've had some people complain that the sand is dark and quartzy and therefore hotter when you walk on it, and they have issues with it. And I've had others complain that there's too much fine white sugar sand in there that silts the water and makes it cloudy. And to the best of my knowledge, we should look into this, but I think we paid about $250,000 in the late 90s or whatever it may be to find the borrow area that I think is 15 miles off. It might be 8 miles, but I thought it was 15 miles off. And the borrow area has extensive sand, and we're permitted to use that sand. Aptum has explained before, and they should explain again, the reason why it's chosen. But apparently, we don't just look at how nice it is on our feet, but how long it's going to last on the beach, whether it'll get blown away. You know, there's a variety of issues that they address, and we can certainly ask them to bring us all up to speed on what their process is. And I know that there are people who claim it's too hot, and there are people who claim that it's too fine. And we'll have them address it and show us samples of the sand and maybe explain so that we can be better informed when we talk to people about why it is what it is. And if the board wants to talk about looking into something different in the future, that's something that we would have to discuss with them to get a handle on what the process is. But I do know you have to get state permits. They're getting harder to get. And I know that others can come in and borrow from the same borrow area that we use if they get permits, but it's complicated. So we'll have that all explained by Aptum in the future. So. And I have no further comments. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
It was a good meeting, Mike.
Good.
If we had time to discuss stuff, where are we allowed to discuss
stuff? Between ourselves?
Yeah.
No, it's just that commissioner comments is supposed to be unilateral.
Okay.
It wraps up the meeting. All during the meeting, if it's not an item is on the agenda, we do discuss.
It's a one-sided debate.
But my question is, if we bring something up that has nothing to do with anything here, when can we talk about it?
Well, at the beginning, you can add that to be added to the agenda. This here. It's right here.
Oh, man. See? Yeah.
Somewhere in here it talks about how you're supposed to process for you to request an item be placed on the agenda ahead of time, or if the majority of the board agrees to discuss it in the meeting, you bring it up. Or even during the meeting, you can bring it up. But that was a wrap-up called commissioner's comments, which allows each commissioner to make a comment. Whatever they want to say at the end.
So basically,
he was frankly going on.
I know, but it, you know, at some point, he raises something. You're telling me now it's too late to discuss it?
At the end of the meeting, it is.
But he just said it. But he just said it. So I'll have to put on next. So basically, he just brings up this thing about every five houses has
it. He should have put it on the. And I should have put it on the agenda because I knew it was an issue. So I should.
But it's this or something, it doesn't matter. She comes up. You know, when is the appropriate. If we've gone past this, and we something just comes up in Christian comments, it says, it seems to say here that if the majority of people want to talk about it, we can talk about it. Is that fair? I'm asking.
Yes, it is fair.
Okay, so then
you could ask, even at the end,
just
before
now,
we adjourn, you could say, I would like to add an item to the agenda and discuss it.
Okay, but
I'm just trying to keep the meeting going.
I got it. I'm happy.
Honestly.
I'm happy. I just want to make sure it was a legitimate contention because what he said is nonsense.
What he said was incoherent.
Yeah,
nobody but me probably knew, or you and I knew what he was saying.
Yeah. Okay, but I just want to make sure, you know, it seems like we get legitimately once a month to talk about stuff.
No, you're right. You're right.
And so I don't want to be silenced because it happens at commissioner comments.
Well, we could change that and call it commissioner discussion.
Yeah.
And then discuss items.
Yeah.
And then allow somebody to bring, each of us bring up an item.
Or something that occurred during the course of the meeting. You know, because I wrote down, what else? Oh, yeah, the timeline. I wanted to say, by the way, Harry, although he picked up, he's going to do the timeline. I was going to say, by the way, Harry, I think a timeline's a great idea. Why don't you take responsibility for it? This guy would have fucking shit in his hands.
Yeah, let me just tell you this thing he was just talking about. So at the last briefing meeting, Dave said, I have an item I want to talk about, but after the reporters are at the end of the meeting, he told him that this guy, Dupre.
Because you're trying to compare the beach from our